Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns. Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
You're listening to The Tillage Podcast with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, and you're very welcome to this week's Tillage Podcast. I'm Siobhan Walsh, and there's still some snow outside the window as I talk. I'm recording on Wednesday night this week, the 18th of January, for your information when it comes to grain prices and weather later on. On this week's show, we talk to plenty of people at tillage events in Cork and Kildare. It's great to see such big attendances at these events, and what I'm noticing is I'm running into a lot of happy tillage farmers and trade out and about. I think people are glad to be out again. There was well over 200 at Dairy Gull's annual tillage conference, maybe pushing for the 300, and there was another 200 in Naas tonight at the Quinns conference. So it's super to see people ready and willing to get information at these type of events. Before I go any further, I just want to say that the recommended list for the spring cereals from the Department of Agriculture came out tonight, Wednesday, and there will be an article online by the time this podcast goes out, and there'll be more to follow over the coming days and in the paper next week as well. But you might want to be looking at them in the meantime if you're deciding on your varieties. So coming up, we talk about figures which show Irish feed has a much lower carbon footprint than feed with imported grain. I think all our listeners will be glad to hear that and glad to see figures coming behind that as well. So we'll talk to Valerie Hobson of Quinns for more details on that. Chagas tillage specialist Kieran Collins talks crop condition and keeping cool for another few weeks before we do plant counts. Liam Leahy of Dairy Gold encourages farmers to plant beans and talks sustainable malt and barley and Irish feed rations. And we catch up with soil guru John Geraghty as well. As always then, there'll be a quick grain price report and weather report at the end of the show. Okay, so first we'll go to Kieran Collins, and Kieran advises farmers not to panic when looking out at poor winter crops and patchy fields. Kieran, we're down here at Dairy Gold at the Tillage Conference. Coming down the road, I came from Leash, and there's a lot of crops struggling. You know, there's half fields where there's water lying, or where there isn't just crops there, where the grows got it, or whether those crops never got established. Like, have you any advice for those farmers at the minute?
Yeah, I suppose, like you say, we've had a lot of rainfall in the last few weeks, and it's really shown up, I suppose, you know, some of those areas. In terms of advice, really, I suppose, firstly, we just have to wait for better weather and do an assessment. You know, the economics of replanting crops isn't very good because we've invested, obviously, expensive seed and establishment that's gone in already. So I think really it's kind of measuring your plant count, seeing what you have. Is it economically viable? If it's not, unfortunately, you'll have no choice. But I think sometimes working with a low plant count, you know, is economically better.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not very pretty, but sometimes economically it might be better. Do you know, sometimes we use thresholds in wheat. If you had maybe down as low as even 80 or 90 evenly distributed plants, you can work with that, you know, and maybe pull back in inputs a bit. But then if you have patches that are gone, well, you know, unfortunately, you might have no choice, only, you know, replant some of those, I suppose.
I suppose hold tight for the minute anyway. You can't walk in the crops yet, so I suppose not to panic, but you can plan ahead now at this stage and, you know, plan for your spring crops and make decisions for that. We heard Dairy Gold saying here today at the conference they'll have a contract price for beans at the end of the month, and beans is definitely a crop that people should be thinking about.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I mean, financially, you know, the cost of growing feed barley and feed wheat is getting very close to the cost of production at current prices. And, you know, the likes of beans, you know, the Department, in fairness, have invested in a protein subsidy, 3 million to 7 million. That could turn into anything from 350 euros a hectare up to 500 for any farmer. And, like, that's money in the bank, you know. And, you know, the likes of Dairy Gold here today, they will be offering a forward price. So once you know the forward price, look at your average yield. It's very easy to do a budget. And I think beans will stack up this year, you know.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And Kieran, you mentioned a few things just for the year ahead, like that's coming into to legislation. So you mentioned the soil sampling, I suppose, the first thing the farmers will be tackling, and then that tree moisture buffer as well. I suppose they're just the immediate things that are coming at us.
Yeah, two things on that, I suppose. The soil sampling, if you don't have a result, you don't have any P allocation. And the one thing that I'm finding is a lot of farmers think that they have plenty of soil tests, but you need to make sure it's one per, ideally four, but you can go up to a max of 5 hectares just to make sure that there's enough on the farm. In relation to buffers, you know, it's anywhere where there's a water identified on the OSI 1 to 5,000 map. So it was 2 metres we had to keep out with the plough, it's now 3. And that sort of falls in line with the conditionality. I think it's GIAC 4, where there's no pesticides and fertilisers allowed in those areas anyway. And I suppose something here, just talked to a few growers that might have been aware of it, is for late harvested crops, you know, where there's an intersecting water course, that's actually 6 metres, you know. So I suppose that's something just we need to watch out for this year.
So people with, that's potatoes, maize, are late harvested spring cereals, they're gone out of that now,
they're
again, aren't
that. Yeah, they're not in that. I suppose beet and maize and potatoes would be the big ones. Late harvested vegetables, I think, might be in that as well.
Yeah. I'm doubling back now on the soil samples, but if you do the soil samples in an eco scheme, it's every 3 hectares, isn't it?
Every 3 hectares for that measure, as far as I'm aware, yeah.
So people just need to keep an eye on that. Thanks a million, Kieran.
Not a bother, Sean.
Thanks very much to Chagas tillage specialist Kieran Collins there for taking the time to talk to us at the Dairy Gold conference. Staying with Dairy Gold, I caught up with the co-op's head of tillage last Friday, and here's what Liam had to say. Liam Leahy, you've just had a very good conference there with Dairy Gold. There was 200 or over it in that room, and they all stayed till the end. And like, one thing that was very clear is Dairy Gold's commitment to tillage and crops in this country.
Yeah, look, I'd like to think so. And, you know, by the crowd that was there today, and I'm not necessarily saying the growers, but if you looked at the senior management in Dairy Gold, you were the chairman, you had the CEO. I mean, that's how committed we are to it. And they wanted to be there. They asked to be there. And you also have some other board members. So, look, we are hugely committed to tillage. We're banging on side in the middle of it. Okay, we might be looked upon as a big dairy co-op, but tillage is a huge part of our business, and we'd like to showcase it. And I mean, this today was as much about saying thank you to our growers and bring them together. And, you know, we'd like this to be a big, and that's necessarily saying happy family, but we all have to work together. And I think that was the message there today, you know.
Yeah. And like, you talked about Irish grain, and the Liam O'Flaherty mentioned the importance of Irish grain going into Lumbertstown Mill. And, you know, in fairness to you, you had leaflets on the chairs as well for that Irish ration. And, you know, that's crucial, Liam. You're really promoting Irish grain and Irish cereals and beans.
Yeah, look, you're right. And look, we're Irish down to our toenails, really, you know. And beans, protein beans, that's the one crop that we'd really love to get more of. We could handle twice the amount of beans we're getting if we could get more of them grown. Yeah. But our mill is 100% Irish for cereals, and that's the way we intend to keep it.
Yeah.
I think in a lot of cases our customers recognise us for that too, and you will see that in when they're ordering products. You mentioned that one there, that Gold Farm beef cube. That's quite a popular ration now.
Yeah.
And a lot of lads buy it because it's of Irish provenance. Yeah. And, you know, that's what we stand for, and we're very proud of it.
It's great to see interest from farmers, you know, and livestock farmers that want to buy the Irish ration. Liam, you mentioned malt, and that was one of the big things today. You announced the Malt and Barley Growers of the Year. The DZ family won it. And a big focus on, of course, there was grain quality, but a big focus on sustainability in that. And you might explain things that some of the farmers were doing that, that made them stand out from the crowd.
Yeah, you know, it was amazing really how it was picked up and by, I think it was one of the speakers. We gave out a booklet beforehand and they were reading it. Every one of them were using organic manures, you know.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it was. Mm-hmm. We could have picked any number of growers to win this thing because with the amount of high quality malting barley we got this year was phenomenal. But look, the small measures. And the people that won it there today, the DC family down in just outside Cork City, they won it because really of their use of organic manures. They actually take in organic manures from piggeries and from local livestock enterprises. They store it during the winter and they apply it onto the land during the spring. And that's their commitment to it. And then they have GPS technology, they have flow meters in their pumps, put out an LS system. I mean, just ticking every box you could ask for, like, and what's more than that, and they'll tell you themselves, they're reducing their fertilizer bill by circa 50%.
Yeah.
You know?
And so they're growing forage for local livestock farmers, they're taking the slurry back. As you said, that's what we need to be doing. That's where we need to go in this country.
It is, and that's simply why they won it there today, because they portray that the other people also use organic manures. But in all cases, actually, it was produced by their own livestock. So, you know, we had to pick little things that, it's so difficult.
Yeah.
No, they produced top quality malting barley, all four of them did. But look, again, the theme of the conference was to feed your size, to feed your people. And we look upon that as, can I say, a natural thing to do. And livestock farmers must be more willing to part with the manures and give them to the tillage people, you know.
Yeah.
But look, that's our malting barley industry, and the DC is one on by right, and that was the reason for it too.
And Liam, just going to winter cropping, do you have any idea of how much winter cropping is back in the Dairy Gold catchment?
Yeah, no problem. I tell you, it's Tipperary area, we'll start with that, is more or less the same as last year, more or less, maybe slightly back.
Yeah.
Mid Cork, which would be this area we're in today, from my Mallow, that area, that would be like about 25%. We'll go down to East Cork. Winter barley, East Cork, South Cork would be back about 65%. Winter wheat back about 25%, 30%.
And
that's going to be a little bit of a concern because that's going to create a huge workload next spring. It's going to create a huge workload for us next August, trying to handle the intakes.
Yeah.
But look, we're warned about that now. We must react to that and prepare for it, and we will.
Yeah.
And, you know, I suppose the only good thing we can say is that there seem to be a good supply of spring barley seed in the market.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of comfort in that, at least.
Yeah.
You know?
And Brendan Riley would have commented on that last week at the ISTA seminars. The thought's gone out of my head now, whatever I was going to say, Liam, about it. Someone complimented. It was one of the farmers stood up today and complimented Dairy Gold on the speed of grain intake last year. And Liam O'Flaherty had said about the 5 million infrastructure invested. So hopefully the capacity is, it sounds like the capacity is there in Dairy Gold to deal with it. Beans, Liam, you're a big supporter of beans. Liam said you'll have a price out at the end of the month or early February. Do you anticipate a big increase in area?
Do you know, we'd love a big an increase in area. Do I anticipate it? Do you know, Siobhan, I'm a bit concerned, to be honest.
Okay.
I would have thought would have been more enthusiastic about it. Now, look, I'd like to think there will be an increase, and my God, if there's not an increase in beans this year, Siobhan, with all the supports and whatever, like I said, everything is so right for an increase in payment. No nitrogen, plenty departmental support.
Yeah.
I don't know what we can do after this, really. Yeah. And we are willing to take twice the beans we're getting at the moment, you know.
Yeah.
So, we'd love to think there will be at this present moment. We have practically no winter beans planted. This time last year, we probably had maybe 50% of our acreage in at this stage.
Okay.
We've done.
Yeah.
You know, we're after dreadful weather down here, Siobhan.
And you can see that, Liam, in the crops along the roads there. If people are driving the roads, they'll notice those crops, and large patches of crops gone.
Yeah, I've actually done a booklet, or we've done a booklet for the conference. I presume you got one. And there's a very interesting slide inside in that. The the rainfall in Dublin Airport and the rainfall in Cork Airport for this year. It's exactly twice. One was 600 millimetres and Cork was 1,200 millimetres.
So. And even this week, Liam, it's about quadruple the amount. Earlier this week it was for the month so far.
So we've taken a bit of a hiving down here in the rain.
Yeah.
But look, I know he's retiring now from here, long gone, Andy Dyle, and we did recognise him today as probably one of the finest journalists in modern times in agriculture. But thanks for coming, Siobhan.
Thanks, Liam.
Thanks, and well done to Liam on what was a great conference in Carn Events Centre last Friday. That was on the 13th of January, and you can read more in this week's paper from both Ciarán and Liam. And also in the news this week, there's a story on the Department of Agriculture making blackgrass a noxious weed. The tillage pages have reports from those Irish Seed Trade Association seminars that were held last week. So we've the full report there. And I know that Interim Editor Jack Kennedy is also calling on all farmers to submit to the consultation on the new sustainable use of pesticides register. So farmers have, or you know, anyone has until Friday the 20th of January. So that's, if you're listening when the podcast comes out on Thursday, you have a day to get your submission in. And it's really important that we do that, that we have our say in this legislation. Every opinion counts, and if you're not in, you can't win. So if you don't send in your opinions, then the department definitely won't read them. So get your submissions in. Now, I think you'll all enjoy this next lot. John Gerrishy was also at Dairy Gold's conference, and I had a chat with John afterwards. He's a lecturer in Southeast Technological University, and John is also a consultant and passionate about soils, anyone that knows him. And I think you'll pick that up from this interview. John was very much focused on sustainability, and you had a big focus on soil, and you opened with a fact: 60 to 70% of EU soils are unhealthy, and we have to have 75% of soils healthy by 2030. That's a big target, John.
It is, and okay, so the 60 to 70% is based around degradation. So yeah, it's based around soil organic matter loss in soils, and a lot of that is arable soils, of course. I suppose in the Irish context, of course, we've got a lot of grassland. So it doesn't register with us as significantly as it would do in other regions around Europe, but you've got a lot more cropping land. So that loss of organic matter is particularly acute, particularly in the southern regions of Europe, you know. But nonetheless, for our crop growers, that loss of our soil organic matter is something that we really need to address head on now. And we've had a lot of rainfall, very stormy conditions over the last couple of weeks. And we went from a situation where we had a deficit of water in soils coming into December to one now where we're gone beyond field capacity very, very quickly. And I think a lot of growers here today, they probably are looking at fields with ponds and surface water. And they're looking at that and they're wondering, will they ever be able to get it, you know, back in good hearth again? And, you know, they can do that. But I think we probably need to do a little bit more in terms of making our land more resilient. And there were lots of different methods of doing that. Ciarán Collins was mentioning about cover crops. He was mentioning about crop rotations, return of straw and residue. And Jim McCarthy, in his own situation out in Eastern Europe, he was also emphasizing same principles on a much larger scale. But, you know, it, as I said to Jim afterwards, whether it's 2 hectares or 20 or 200 or 2,000 or 20,000, the principles are largely the same, do you know?
And something that did come up a lot, John, was cover crops. And, like, farmers are very interested in cover crops now. Like, the area being grown increased massively this year. We don't really have proper figures on it. But if you were planting a cover crop at the, you know, in next season, what would you put in that mixture, let's say, for different jobs?
For different jobs. Well, of course, farmers are after pushing so far ahead now, even in terms of some of the research information that's available. And even in the Irish context, some farmers speak about summer cover crops, and they will be sown early and for a short period of time after an early harvest of winter barley or oilseed rape, for example. And they would sow a mix of cover crops in the ground for maybe 6-7 weeks, and then direct seed into that, their winter crop. But generally speaking, what farmers will do is they will put in a cover crop mix. So there were two messages that came out of today. Kieran Collins again made the point, and he showed us an example from a trial that they had done about the sowing date. Really, really important. So the earlier you can sow, the whole idea is to develop biomass, not necessarily above the ground. Jim McCarthy was talking about roots and developing roots under the ground. Yeah. So the earlier you sow, the greater the biomass you'll get, both above and below ground. Mm-hmm. And then Jim mentioned about this whole aspect of diversity. And the more diversity you get into your cover crop mix, you know, the better off you're going to be. Unfortunately, an awful lot of the research work that we have in Ireland has been based around single species.
Yeah.
And even in terms of the contribution that cover crops can make to reducing emissions and building carbon, it's based around one species.
Yeah.
I think farmers on the ground are seeing the benefits of a significant number of species incorporating grass type plants, like, for example, oats and rye, incorporating legumes like crimson clover, Jim mentioned that, and even vetches, okay, very good over winter period. And then we've got other plants, for example, white mustard or winter mustard, if we want it to last longer. We also have phacelia. These plants are good because they're not... they're not related to a lot of the cash crops that we would grow. So we don't have this impediment maybe of maybe disease transfer, which can happen. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of cover crops that have been grown in the last 5 years, based on price and cost, they were based around brassicas a lot, which isn't a big issue unless you're growing brassicas as a cash crop. And we had situations where, you know, very simple cover crop mixes that contain brassicas, where there was oilseed rape in the mix, we actually saw in a very short period of time the buildup of clubroot disease, which we never saw in the Irish context because we actually did rotate oilseed rape to a greater extent, you know.
Yeah.
So you just want to watch out for those things. But generally speaking, a diversity in the cover crop mix is the best in terms of different roots, different penetration, and bringing nutrients and minerals up from different levels.
Yeah.
And stimulating biological activity then as well.
Yeah. Like, cover crops are going to be very important going forward, I think. And you said it earlier on, you said it there now, like, farmers are leading the way on these. What would you like to see happen? You know, we have the scheme now in acres that people can plant catch crops. Does more need to be done at government level to increase the area of catch crops?
Well, I just mentioned this. Believe it or not, we had catch crops in environmental schemes going back to the late 1990s, you know, and early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
I think in REPS 3, for example, we had mustard, but it was a standalone. Okay. It was just mustard that you grew and that was it. And then in the EOS scheme, again, you could plant cover crops, but very often the support was not very flexible. Number one, the payment wasn't great. And number two, it was difficult, for example, to rotate the cover crop around the farm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So with loss, what happened was, in fairness to department officials in Johnstown Castle, they became far more pragmatic about what it was that they wanted to see. They had the research evidence that there was a major reduction in nitrate loss, in nitrate leaching. And then it stabilised soil. These cover crops stabilised soil, so you didn't get soil erosion, so you didn't get the movement of phosphorus off the top in terms of overland flow and out of fields.
Yeah.
So, and of course, the payment increased quite significantly.
Mm.
And the beauty about loss three then was that you could actually attain the maximum payment with a combination of minimum tillage and cover crops.
Yeah.
Acres has continued in much the same way, but there is a limit to 20 hectares in terms of cover crops. And I just think when you consider all of the benefits, I just think that that is something that they could have lightened up on.
And we hear about tillage and carbon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know that it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And I do think that the legacy of GLOSS is that farmers are going to use cover crops, even for, you know, cover crops, and use it maybe as a forage in early spring.
Yeah.
you know, for a period of time. So it was a no-brainer. So restricting the land area, I just think, to be honest with you, it was a little bit mean in many respects. And I think if you've got a good environmental practice that has multiple benefits and has proven to have multiple benefits, well, that's good policy. And you need to support that and you need to reinforce it.
Thanks very much to John for taking the time to chat with us there. Okay, next up is a piece I'm very excited about because Quins of Baltinglass have finally come out with carbon footprint figures on Irish and imported rations. So, you know, we're always talking about the carbon footprint of Irish tillage and how tillage is really good for the environment and we've low greenhouse gas emissions and how Irish grain has a lower carbon footprint than imported grain and maize and soya. So it's great to see figures finally coming behind this now. So Valerie Hobson presented the figures at the company's conference and here she is describing those findings. She had a chat with us afterwards.
As most people know, Quins grain is a core part of our business and we are also feed manufacturers and we like to include as much of the cereal that we're buying in our finished feed. Of late, under our sustainability programme, we started looking at the carbon footprint of different formulations. First focused on a couple of different beef rations, the first one being based on a native grain mix of, say, wheat, barley, oats with some beans. The second, a more maize-based formulation with some soya included, soya hulls, rape meal. And we did basically figures for both. And the differential between the two formulations came out at 240 kilos of CO2 per tonne. So that's 240 kilos per tonne more carbon dioxide produced versus a basic Irish native grain mix. Second formulation we then looked at is a dairy pellet, a 19% dairy pellet. The figures here, the differentials here was a bit more stark. We had, again, a native grain mix with some soya included to break the protein up to 19%. So it's something that can be done in real terms. It's a realistic formulation. Again, we compare that to more imported ingredient-based formulation with maize, soya, soya hulls. And the differential between the two formulations came out at 800 kilograms extra CO2 produced from the imported formulation versus the native grain-based mix, which is huge figures. And I think it's something as an industry that we're going to have to look more at going forward. And it's going to be driven by, I'd say, our customer demand and their demands from their customers, whether it be the supermarkets, whether it be factories, whether it be dairy processors. So it's something I think that we'll all need to look at in more detail.
Massive news, Valerie, and you know, a lot of work went into this. You might just describe like some of the differences in the carbon footprint. So like obviously you know the maize or the soya, where did that high carbon footprint come from on those products?
The higher carbon footprints on those products came from obviously the source of it, and there's different backgrounds in the figures. So if, for example, if you take soya that's come from Brazil, where rainforests have been depleted, it will, in the last maybe 10-15 years, it will have much higher carbon footprint than say soya that came from America that hasn't had a change in land use in maybe 150 odd years. So it will have that higher figure. Likewise, Canadian based maize will have a much lower carbon footprint than again maize coming from rainforest depleting areas. So sourcing, we're not self-sufficient for feed in Ireland, so we're always going to have to import it, so we have to be practical about how we approach it. But we may become more, I suppose, focused and conscious of where we're getting our raw materials from. So I do believe that in due course, like, our carbon emission, our carbon production figures will have to be put on feed labels. I'm not so sure when, but I don't think it's in the far distant future.
Do you think that's something Quins will look to do in the near future?
I think it's something we'll all do together within the trade is something that we'll have to look at. It'll have to be implemented from the department, because there'll obviously have to be fixed figures for everybody, and it'll have to be controlled. So I think down the line, and I think it will have to come in, whether for a European level or at an Irish level.
Yeah. And is it something that Quinns have found their customers asking for? Like, is there some farmers that want to use more native grain than imported?
Yeah. Farmers mightn't ask the CO2, how much CO2 is produced in a ton of feed, but they want to know, is that how much native grain is in it, or how much Irish barley is in it? Can we get a mix that has maybe wheat in it instead of maize? So yeah, it's definitely coming. And I, as I said earlier, I think coming down the tracks, we will have, it's their customers that's going to put the pressure on. The supermarkets, the Tesco's, the supervisor are going to come looking for, we need to know how sustainable our product is, what we're buying from you.
And backing up those figures then, Valerie, you launched the Sustainable Tillage Programme tonight as well, and that's big news on Quinn's front as well. So you're going to have, is it six monitor farms in that programme?
Yes, we're going to have six monitor farms, six purely tillage farms across our geographical area. These farms, we're going to be, our agronomists will be focusing on looking at the farm in a whole and trying to grow the crops in the most sustainable way, both economically and environmentally. We're going to be working with other partners in trade, in bringing new initiatives, whether it's been the use of liquid fertilizer, very precise fertilizer planning. We're going to use a lot more analysis, so looking at leaf analysis and cropping history and so forth. So yeah, it's going to be very interesting. And I think the most important thing is it's going to be at a very local level. So we're getting information across five or six different counties, and that we can share that with our customers in those areas. And we look forward to sharing that information with our customers and having farm walks there throughout the year and next year. So it's exciting, and it's good to support our tillage growers and show that we care.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to hear, and someone can look in at their neighbour and, you know, they're on a similar land type or whatever, and they'll be able to compare to them. Valerie, thanks very much for chatting to us. Loads of exciting things happening in Quinns, and we look forward to following them.
Thank you, Siobhan. Thanks very much.
I just think that's super work, and the industry is making such great strides. The sooner that carbon footprint appears on the feed label, the better. I mean, it will take time to get that system in place and to get consistency in how we measure that carbon footprint, but it will be worth it, and it will be very important for marketing products going forward. Okay, we're coming near the end of the show now, so here is your grain markets report. So, spot barley this week is about 286, spot wheat 297, Matif wheat for December 2023. So that finished at 274.75 on Friday, and then it dropped as far as 269 on Tuesday and went back up to about 271, I think, today. I'm just going to pull it up on the AgTel, but look, overall the trend is downwards in the grain markets. It's not looking good in the near term, but positively, that December wheat price actually finished at 274 on Wednesday. So while it dropped on Monday and Tuesday, it had come back up to its Friday level on Wednesday, by Wednesday evening. Oilseed rape prices are also down, so I'm just looking at oilseed rape here at the minute. So on Wednesday, it closed, the November price closed at 547.50. Just to put that into perspective, it was 571 on Friday last, so that's dropped quite considerably. So look, markets not in a good place at the minute, but Phelim Dolan was speaking at the Quinns conference earlier on, and you know, while he said, yeah, markets are in a downward trend at the minute, he said, look, going forward, there'll be peaks and troughs in the market, and there will be opportunities to sell and make a profit at those sales. So look, there's positivity there on the horizon as well. Okay, so we'll move to weather now, and Met Éireann are predicting that we'll have below average rainfall over the next 7 days. So between 25 and 50% of average is expected in the eastern half of the country. And looking at temperatures, set to get warmer. So, you know, we're probably still going to have frost Friday morning, but after that, temperatures increasing, and they're actually going to be about 2 degrees above average over the coming week. Not much sunshine in the forecast. limited drying according to Met Air. And look, they're saying, you know, virtually all soils are saturated across the country. And then the poorly drained soils are waterlogged. And over the coming week, they expect very little change in field conditions. I saw an odd picture of people spraying and ploughing. And I suppose, look, there are odd pockets of the country where you could go out. But I think in the vast majority of cases, ground is wet. And look, it's January. I know it's getting near the end of January and people maybe are getting itchy feet. But look, it's the time of year for it. So that's the weather report for this week. And that's it for this week for the show. Thanks to all our guests on the show this week for taking the time to chat to us. We really appreciate it. Thanks, of course, to you, the listeners, to Jerome and Claire back at base for editing. Over the next week, keep safe. Get out to some of those events. I know the Tillage Conference is on next Wednesday, 25th of January. It's a big event in the calendar. And keep the Tillage flag flying.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.